Nice little choral piece of music for you all playing here. The choir will come in a second. This is one of the pieces that we're featuring this Sunday at the CVA Sing concert. And we have a couple of guests in-house. We have Gary Rambo with us. And we also have Suzanne from Feed My People with us. Because, Gary, this whole concert, what is it for?
This is all for Feed My People.
Wonderful. So we've been working on that. I'm part of this choir, so it's kind of fun. I've gotten to know Gary a little bit. Gary, tell us a little bit about this concert.
Well, it has a theme, Come to the Water, and that's one of the pieces we're doing, although it has a wide variety of music, all with a water theme. We close with our traditional, iconic, Where the Clear Water Flows, written by our local composer, Warren Hermanson, and he's also arranged a piece, Water is Wide, that is a very common tune. We have some selections that are almost jazz-like.
Yes.
And then we have some that are very big choral works that just have this huge choral sound.
Well, and that's what's been so fun as being part of this choir is, I mean, we were practicing last night with some of the musicians, and, I mean, we've got everything from an electric bass guitar and bongos going to just some classical pieces that are strong choral and piano pieces. So great, great arrangements and mixtures of music that we have going.
I think that's what makes it so much fun, that we can have that kind of variety, and we have wonderful musicians coming from across the Chippewa Valley to participate in this event, and it's so much fun for musicians to have a way to give back and make this a community service project.
Right.
And they have a blast coming together. They enjoy the experience of singing in a large choir, and they get to give back to the community through this experience. So
right.
It's lots of fun.
And it is a large choir, over 90 choral singers in this choir this year, right?
That's right. It's the largest choir we've ever had.
Sure.
And it's so much fun to work with that kind of size. For me, it's just an honor to have all of these musicians coming from across the Chippewa Valley.
Sure, sure.
So,
and now,
fun.
This benefits Feed My People. So we'll turn here to Suzanne. Suzanne, how does this partner with you and help you guys out as well?
You know, it's always so exciting in the fall. I get to talk to Gary, and he's starting to share his theme, and we order music, and it's so exciting year after year. It's just a wonderful concert, and it's so important. You know, we were just chatting about what a horrific month it has been with the weather, and how we're all just so darn tired of the snow, right? But imagine, we are so worried about our seniors who get Meals on Wheels, and those drivers have not been able to consistently deliver. We're worried about our kids who've not been in school, who rely on their school lunches. It's been such a difficult month. And so events like the CVA Sing Concert are so wonderful, not just for the proceeds that they bring in, which, of course, are so important to our programming, but also the awareness and just the community support. Again, all those musicians coming together and all the wonderful people, usually those concerts are just full of wonderful people, can't wait to hear. That's just a really good community feel.
So Suzanne, again, you know, alluding to all the days that schools are canceled, that very often means no meals for children who are depending on those. All the days that Meals on Wheels is canceled, no food for the seniors who are depending on those. And so what's, I think, the grace of God in this situation is that we have, right after a very, very difficult month, we have the CVA Sing, which is going to be benefiting you, and also coming up very soon, a huge event, Empty Bowls, as well. So both of these coming to bear. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right, right. This is just such a fun week, isn't it? With Sunday with CVA Sing, and then next Thursday will be Empty Bowls. If you haven't been to Empty Bowls, you come and you have soup. We have 11 different restaurants across the Chippewa Valley, local restaurants that are donating soup and bread and desserts. And then we have more bowls than we've ever had. They're all different. They come from the schools, universities, professional potters. We've had some bowl painting parties. Anyway, so when you leave, you get to pick out a bowl to take home. So both events are just fun, good community feel.
I've been to Empty Bowls many times, not the last couple of years, been in Africa, but I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
March 7th already. It's outstanding. Great event. So.
Yeah.
So, Gary, as we're wrapping things up here, can you tell us how do we get into CVA Sing? Times of the concerts, location, and ticketing information.
Yes, we have. This Sunday is will be our performances, and they are at 2 o'clock and at 7 o'clock. And usually the 2 o'clock is very packed. So tickets are available from all of the community choir members.
Of which I'm one.
That's right. And you've got tickets. So and they should be available in their various churches and community choirs. And they will be available at the door at Trinity Lutheran on East Lexington.
Sure, so, which is the one right off of Rudolph. You see it from Rudolph,
right,
East Lexington.
Iconic ski slope looking,
right.
roof line. So,
well, it's going to be a great concert. I, for one, am so thrilled that I've gotten involved with it this year. It's been so fun. You know, last night I was kind of like just in a funk in the evening and blah, you know, and the kids have been home all day too. And I'm telling you, I went to our practice last night and I got to sing for a couple hours and I just came home in such a great mood. So come on down on Sunday, Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening and check this concert out and help out, help fight hunger in the Chippewa Valley as well.
I'm just curious, Gary, before we wrap this up completely. So we've been playing A Thousand Storms. We'll close with that. You said kind of a rain theme. Any songs with a snow theme maybe for next year that you could draw from?
We'll something probably to think about. Stick with something yeah. more spring-like.
All yeah. right, all
I
right,
think
good.
A beach theme. Tropical. Let's go tropical next year. Thank you both so much for joining us. I have had children. I have had newborns. It is very challenging and exhausting.
So let's give a little background.
This woman who's become known as the mommy poet has gone viral for a poem that she wrote, maybe poking fun a little bit at her husband, who was warm and snug in his bed in the middle of the night. Well, as a new mom, she was not. So here we go. Are we ready? It's titled Daddy's Asleep. Mommy's maternal alarm goes off. It's not even 3. You're stirring again. You're hungry and staring at me. I think she's hungry, your daddy offers, pulls duvet over his head. Mommy sends him a death stare and rolls out of bed. Mommy comes back, tired and drained, and what is this she sees? Your daddy has taken over my side. Doesn't care about me. Soon you'll grow up and be daddy's little girl. You'll not remember me cleaning up poo and vomit and hurl. Whilst you sit on his lap and he sings you a song, you'll love him and think daddy's could do nothing wrong. But my sweet love, here's a poem for you to keep, so you know all that those long nights, daddy was asleep.
So
that's
Caleb,
way too true.
Caleb, you get equal time, but he already says it's way too true.
No, it is, because, I mean,
your daughter's a little over a year, right?
A little over a year, yep, and poor baby girl was coughing last night, and I woke up this morning, and as I was leaving the house, I said to Lindsay, oh, it seems like we have 2 kids sick now.
Yeah.
And she was like, yep.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, and obviously I have to go to work, but
I know.
But during the night, you know, and I have at times, but who is the chief operating officer of all things during the night? It's my wife again and again. And it's like, I never have a true excuse to complain about being tired. I get tired, but I don't, like, get, you know, an
new
hour
mom
at
tired.
A stretch. Just salute, moms. Salute,
so here's
because I
the
have
thing.
No ground to stand on here.
Here's the thing. So I was a stay-at-home mom for a number of years, and it was kind of like, okay, he's getting up and going to work in the morning. I know that I'm on night shift. I get that. But it's still hard. And no matter how much you tell yourself that at 3 in the morning, you still it's hard not to be resentful. So here's a clue for the dads out there. This was my husband was amazing. Love this man. This is what he did. He took always the Friday night shift.
Ah.
Sometimes he would take the Friday and Saturday, at least one night a week. He would take all of the overnights. And that was amazing. Because then even if it's, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, you just, you know, there's a full night's sleep on the horizon.
There's one coming.
There's one coming. And that just made it all more tolerable. Sometimes you just need to have a little faith in humanity, because sometimes humanity just really pulls through. And this is one of those heartwarming stories that I just had to share with you. Jennifer Powell heard sudden and shocking news about her husband, Seth, that he had to suddenly have an unexpected open heart surgery.
Mm.
Okay, so big scary stuff in their life. This is out in California, actually. So she immediately spun into action, as moms do. She first found someone to care for their 3-year-old daughter so that she could be at the hospital at her husband's side. The surgery was predicting to take about 10 hours. So found childcare for her daughter and then immediately spun into action saying, what about our bookstore? They own a small, independently owned kind of mom and pop bookstore. They only had one employee who had the swine flu and would be out of work for at least a week.
Wow. And again, small business, I mean, you are, you know.
You're it.
When you're the proprietor, I mean, you're the bookkeeper, you're the cashier,
yes.
You're the stock boy.
You're everything. Exactly. So she didn't know what to do. She just closed the store. But, you know, when you're the owner of this business, if your doors are closed, you're not making money. And when your husband's having heart surgery, you know you're going to need money.
And oftentimes when you close the doors, that means they'll go somewhere else and you might not get those customers back.
Right. Exactly. Well, her close friends, Scott and his wife, were watching their daughter. Scott actually works at another bookstore in town. He wanted to help. So he started putting some feelers out there with some other bookstore owners and workers that he knew. He thought, you know what? I helped them at first when they opened their store. I still have keys to their store. He made it happen. He lined up volunteers and found people to come in and just work the store. He didn't even tell them that he was doing this. The store remained open. He went into the hospital to visit this gentleman when he was in intensive care and told him, hey, the bookstore's open. We're doing good.
Wow.
So they have continued to help in that as much as they can. Their employee finally came back to work after recovering from the swine flu. He said they're slowly turning the reins back over to this family as they recover. He fatigues very rapidly post-operatively. So they say they're at about 80% of doing the work, but their volunteers are still showing up. And these volunteers are from other booksellers throughout their area.
That's awesome.
I love it. Let's all help each other out and be friends.
And continuing to do that as well. I mean, it's kind of like we all have some of those neighbors who it's like they're so faithful with, you know, oh, yeah, I'll do your walk, too. Or I'll, you know, when the snowplow goes through, I'll take care of it. You know, just so many people just give and give and give. And what does Scripture say? Let us not become weary in doing good.
Well, almost all of us facing some kind of issue or challenge with our vehicle, our home, or something. And Caleb, you've been a little challenged in the vehicle front, huh?
Yeah, so throwing this out to any auto Sherlocks out there, why in the world does my headlight, the same headlight, keep failing? I have had to replace, if I do it today, replace the same headlight 3 times in the last 2 months, and I don't know why.
Is it the whole headlight assembly or just
the
bulb?
No, it's just the little bulb, and it's one of the few things I actually know how to do with my vehicle, which could be the issue there, but I always feel pretty proud that I can go into Walmart or wherever, spend like $13-14 on a headlight because they're not cheap,
yeah,
and actually pop the old one out and pop the new one in the parking lot, and I've always felt very accomplished that I could do that small aspect of vehicle maintenance. But I really don't want to spend $13-14 for a headlight.
No.
And I get the cheap kind, too.
Not once a week.
Yeah,
could it be
I mean,
fuse issue?
I don't know. I'm not sure because I thought when you replace a headlight, you're good for months at least.
Right, yeah.
So, but why in the world did, I mean, 3 times in 2 months seems excessive.
That seems a bit
I mean, I know new
excessive.
Things aren't necessarily built to last. Speaking of excess, there's a pot-bellied pig that loves something that we love on this show, and that is Oreos. And in fact, Oreos were used to lure this pig back home. This happened Friday. Authorities in Ohio, in Middletown, Ohio, said the pig, named Charlotte, some pig, wandered away from its home, and in order to get it back, police officers used Oreos to lure it close enough to attach it to a leash.
You know, it's funny, because I know this. Pigs love Oreos. Pigs love Oreos.
How'd you know that?
Because when we were at the fair, they were showing the pigs, and they were luring them all over with Oreos. The pig handlers had pockets full of Oreos.
Well, we've got...
Really?
There we go. And listeners love questions, and we've got Stan in Elk Mound who thinks he might have an answer for Caleb's headlight issue. Hi, Stan.
Welcome to Car Talk, Stan.
Yeah. Say, just a possibility, Caleb, and maybe you're already doing this, but when you replace that, the bulb, are you using a towel or a rubber glove or something up under your fingers?
Well, I am not touching the glass with my fingers because I know the oil, like residue and stuff from my fingers, you shouldn't ever touch the glass. So I am avoiding that. I guess I'm not using like a glove, but I'm making sure not to touch it. But maybe that's not
enough. Okay, that's fine. The next thing that you got to make sure is that the connection is really good because if there's any, if you have at all any type of a loose connection there, then the heat will build up and it'll burn out quicker as well.
Okay. Oh. All right.
What if there's moisture inside the headlight assembly? Like, do you have to, like, dry that out? Maybe there's getting, like, a little drop of moisture or condensation in there? Could that do it?
You know, I'm not going to say no. I don't know for certain. Do you have that issue inside yours, or I didn't?
No, I mean, it's a fairly new vehicle. I guess it's a 2012, so it hasn't necessarily had time to crack according to the elements. But
by Christian radio standards, that's a newer vehicle.
You're right.
I was going to say, considering
that
I've got a 2002 minivan as well, so this is our nice vehicle, and then the minivan's the old one. So.
Gotcha. Well, good luck to you. That's the only thing I can suggest is just check the electrical connection, make sure it's good, snug, and clean, and everything like that.
All right. Well, we'll try that next. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan. Some of the auto parts stores, like O'Reilly, I mean, they'll put, like, your wipers on for you.
Right,
and things like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, it's one of those, as a 31-year-old man
that is
very unhandy, not a handy-andy, it's just one of those things where I was like, well, at least I can do this.
Right?
Hi, WWIB, the WIB Wake-Up Show. You have help for Caleb.
Hi, I was just talking about you guys were talking about headlight bulbs.
Yeah.
Another thing, especially in the extreme conditions that we live in here in Wisconsin, is dielectric grease. Tube of grease, $5. I put it on anything that's exposed to the elements.
My husband uses that stuff. Yes.
It's great. Even your indoor products where your bulbs, your batteries corrode a lot, I just put a little bit on there, and it's a peace of mind. It will cause your equipment from not getting damaged.
Huh. Yeah. $5 sounds doable, too.
So. That's like a red. It's red, isn't it? The dielectric grease?
No.
It's
clear.
It's clear,
like
okay.
Milky clear color, but...
I know my husband
uses
that.
The thing is it sheds off any moisture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Hey, any port in a storm, right? Literal in some cases.
We appreciate it. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Dave. I'm calling from Fall Creek.
Dave from Fall Creek.
Another thing, too, like your trailer hookup, your connection. I always put it on my trailer connection. You know, your lights don't work half the time.
Yes.
You put it on there, you're guaranteed it'll work every time.
All right.
Hey, thanks so much.
I like it. Thank you, Dave.
All right, some great suggestions.
There it is. Look at that. See?
Appreciate the Mounders and the Crickets weighing in this morning.
There you go.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.